Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church here in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. We are gathered here today to say goodbye to our dear sister in Christ, Dorothy Hoogie Jones, beloved mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, and of course, our dear sister in Christ. And so today, as we gather, we certainly mourn her passing, but we don't mourn as those who have no hope. We remember that, of course, she, because of her baptism, because of her faith in Christ, she is before the throne of the Lamb and enjoying all the glories of heaven. And so today we will be celebrating that fact. The service today will follow this green order of service that you have before you. Everything that you need is printed there, except for the words to the hymns. You'll find those in the burgundy-colored hymnal in front of you in your pew. Just a quick note before we begin the service, I want to let you know, after the service concludes, we will be proceeding to Trinity Lutheran Cemetery. Now, obviously, the weather is a little bit chilly today. There are two tents out in the cemetery with heaters, but if you would like to avoid the cold, you are invited to simply go directly to the activity center if you'd like to skip the committal service, but you're certainly welcome to join us for the committal if the cold weather doesn't bother you. We'd certainly love to have you out there. We'll begin with our opening hymn, which is number 801, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Dorothy was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all her sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." This time we join together in speaking the words of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Dorothy and to all your servants, who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, beginning with verse 22. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep.
For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. The gospel reading comes from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This time we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith, the same faith that Dorothy shared with us. This morning we will use the words of the Apostles' Creed. The words are printed for you inside the back flap of your hymnal. We confess together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the congregation to be seated, but I'll invite the ladies to remain standing. In honor of the years of service that Dorothy had here at Trinity Lutheran in the Ladies' Aid, our current Ladies' Aid members will be singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We'll all sing the hymn together, but they're going to stand and lead us. So it's hymn number 770.
Thank you, ladies. You may be seated. To the family and friends of Dorothy Hoogie Jones, to those who are gathered here today to celebrate her life of faith, as well as to mourn its earthly end, and especially to you, Gary, Paulette, and Doug, three of Dorothy's beloved children. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our dear sister in Christ, Dorothy, was very much a small town, southern Illinois, simple woman through and through. She was born 94 years ago in 1923 in Farron. Later, she was confirmed and then married here in Hoyleton. She lived many years along Route 1 in Richview. These are not exactly booming metropolises, as you well know. And so Dorothy was used to small-town living from the very beginning. And make no mistake, she was very content with all of it. Living as a farmer's wife and really pouring all of her time and attention into her marriage, into her family, into some of her hobbies like gardening and quilting, she really seemed to embrace that simple life. Dorothy was never named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. She was never given a Nobel Peace Prize. She didn't have any sort of celebrity status to enjoy. Unfortunately, we know that the majority of people living in this great big world have no idea who Dorothy Jones was. But we do. All of us who have been blessed to interact with Dorothy over all of these years know that she was very strong, and her simple life had a great big impact on many other people. Dorothy proved with her life that all of the other things that the world seems to value, you know, things like money and popularity and all kinds of things like outward appearances, all of that stuff in Dorothy's mind was meaningless. It was simply vanity. She did not really care about those kinds of things. She was more interested in living her life according to the plain truth that what you see is what you get. She didn't waste her time trying to impress anybody. She told it like it was. And actually, that's kind of refreshing if you think about it. You know, as we have just entered into the year 2018, I think we realize that there are fewer and fewer people out there in the world nowadays who think the way that Dorothy thought. In many ways, Dorothy was a perfect embodiment of her confirmation verse, which is printed for you on the very first page of your bulletin right at the top. It's also the last verse of the gospel reading that we just heard a couple moments ago. From Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." What Jesus was talking about in these words had to do with all of the people who spend their time worrying about things that ultimately don't matter. A couple verses before this one, Jesus is talking about people who are worrying about their food, worrying about their drink, worried about their clothing, worried about how long their earthly life is going to be. And Jesus' whole point here is that these are not the things we should be spending all of our time thinking about, obsessing over all of our earthly cares, our earthly concerns, that those are not the things we should be focused on. And certainly Dorothy didn't spend her time worrying about these things either. Instead, she knew and believed exactly what this confirmation verse says. That as long as her priorities were straight, as long as the kingdom of God and his righteousness took the most prominent place in her life and in her family's life, then all of those other things would eventually fall into place. There's no sense in wringing your hands over what's going to happen in the future or what might come. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we know that God is in control of all of it. And I want to go back to this idea of what you see is what you get. Because Dorothy certainly lived her life that way. I mean, you never saw her wearing much makeup or wearing really fancy clothes or anything like that. But at the same time, Dorothy knew and believed that from a spiritual standpoint, what you see is not what you get. And let me explain what I mean by that. In this life, what we see with our eyes, what we experience every single day, these are the things that often leave a lot to be desired. Because what we see oftentimes is pain. What we see in this life is suffering. What we see are all the struggles that we deal with in this world, which is tainted by sin and death. What kinds of things did Dorothy see in her life? Certainly, she saw her fair share of struggles and suffering in the world. I mean, just as an example, for 5 years, she worked at the Grape Cottage at the Murray Center in Centralia. She worked primarily with patients who had all kinds of difficult disabilities, people who were bedridden. She saw that kind of suffering. What kind of things do we see? What kinds of things did we see in Dorothy? Toward the end of her life, certainly she had days when she wasn't feeling very good, days when she was tired, days when she didn't have much of an appetite. And so if those are the things that we see and those are the things that Dorothy saw in this world, how wonderful of a blessing is it to be able to say that because of our faith in Jesus Christ, ultimately what we see is not what we get. Because what we get is eternal life in heaven. What we get is the promise of the resurrection of the dead. What we get is a hope that looks into the future to a day when we won't have to deal with all of our earthly cares and all of our concerns anymore. You know, over the last year or so, as I made visits to Dorothy there in her apartment at Green Tree in Mount Vernon, I always got this sense that even with someone like her, there was more than just what you see. That what you get was significantly greater than just what you see. I mean, I'll just tell you, this is a woman who had some significant and impressive achievements and accomplishments in life, but you would really never know it because she really didn't like to toot her own horn. But I understand that, for example, she didn't go around telling everybody how much of a green thumb she was. I understand that she really enjoyed flowers of all kinds, and that once she actually grew an entire rose garden from the stem of just one flower. That's pretty impressive. I also understand that she was a great quilter, and that she contributed to one quilt that was worth over $5,000. That's pretty impressive too. Dorothy was a world traveler. I don't know how many of you knew that. But she would travel with her sisters. She traveled to places that were far away, places like China, places like Russia. Can you imagine all of the amazing things that she saw, all of the adventures that she had? But those weren't the things that she wanted to talk about. Instead, during my visits with her, and we would have these conversations, we would spend a majority of our time talking about the family, talking about how everybody was doing. Dorothy had 17 grandchildren, 22 great-grandchildren, 21 great-great-grandchildren, and she kept track of them all. She had this great memory that lasted with her up until the day that the Lord called her home. One of my favorite things about visiting her was that every time I'd go over there, I would see a new coloring page that she had gotten from one of the kids, and she had prominently displayed there in her apartment. And she would use those coloring pages to explain to me how all the kids were doing and explain to me how much she loved them. But even more important than that, what Dorothy really wanted to talk with me about was her faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the perfect example of someone who is not limited to this idea that what you see is what you get. Because Jesus also appeared at first glance to be a very simple, almost completely uninteresting person. We just celebrated a couple weeks ago Christmas, this moment where Jesus is born into the world in a very humble way, in a small town, born in a manger. He was raised by a lowly carpenter. He didn't have a ton of money. His entourage included fishermen. And when it came time for him to die, he died the death of a common criminal, crucified upon a cross. But thanks be to God, what we see is not what we get with Jesus either. Because this simple, humble man was and is the Son of God in the flesh. And his death and resurrection has opened the way for us to know what Dorothy knew. That there is a hope that goes beyond what we can just see with our eyes. It's our faith that gives us hope. Faith that Dorothy had her whole life. Just like the writer of the Hebrews says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So my prayer for all of us is that in the coming days, weeks, months, years, even though we're not going to see Dorothy on this earth anymore, that we will remember that, again, what we get is much more significant than what we see. And someday, when we too pass away from this life, or when the Lord Jesus returns, just like he's promised to do, we will see Dorothy again. We will be reunited in God's heavenly glory, where sin will no longer distort all of the things that we see. Where what we will see will truly be what we will get. And what we will get is eternal life with all those who have died in the faith. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll continue now with our next hymn, which is Amazing Grace. It's number 744. Thank you. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace, Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy. Give to the family of Dorothy Hoogie Jones and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church, they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our thanks for Dorothy, and for all the blessings you bestowed on her in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with her we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life, and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace in the name of the Lord. Amen. The closing hymn is On Eagle's Wings. It's number 727. You may be seated.